From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
Welcome into Inside the Parker podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. Coming up on the show, we'll talk with former major leaguer Jerry Hairston Jr. He drops by and talks about the game and the future of the game. Can't wait. Also, we'll hear from Major League Baseball Hall of Famers who are inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. That plus much more. Welcome into the show. Let's go.
Batter up.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
Astros rookie sensation Yordan Alvarez has been incredible. I mean, this guy's rookie season has been one for the ages. Coming into Tuesday, Alvarez had 35 RBIs in his first 30 games. Guess whose record he broke by doing that? Albert Pujols, who had 34 runs in his first 30 games. Unbelievable. People are talking about this guy as the future star of baseball and what he's been able to do. And he does mirror a lot like Albert Pujols in that Pujols also debuted at 21 years old like Alvarez and is an outfielder. Pujols in 2001, he was the National League Rookie of the Year. And he capped an unbelievable rookie season, hitting .329. He had 37 home runs and 130 RBIs, and he scored 112 runs. And Alvarez is on pace, are you ready for this, to hit .315, 34 home runs, 100 RBIs, and looks like he should or will win the AL Rookie of the League. Rookie of the Year, I should say, if that were to keep up. And some people are going as far to say he should be in the running for the MVP of the American League with the season that he has put together so far. So here it is, the Houston Astros, who put together a lot of young players. They developed, they won a World Series. And yes, they have another star in their hands. Alvarez has been incredible. If you haven't paid attention, you need to focus on left field. You need to focus at the plate and watch Alvarez hit and play baseball for the Houston Astros.
Number two.
On Sunday, Mariano Rivera, the Yankees star stud closer, was inducted to the Baseball Hall of Fame, the first unanimously elected by the Baseball Writers Association of America. And people didn't think it would be possible because there's always a guy holds out a vote or doesn't vote for somebody. And since it hadn't happened before and so many other great players have gone into the hall, people thought that it wouldn't happen in this case. But Mariano becomes the first player to ever go in with 100% of the vote, and he deserves it. I'm here to tell you that in pro sports, Nobody ever had a more perfect career than Mariano Rivera. And I'm not saying it was perfection. Yes, he lost games. Yes, he blew saves in big moments. Yes, there were things like that. But when you take a look at his overall scope and overall career, he was never bad. A major league record, 652 saves. He also helped the Yankees win 5 World Series. I doubt that the Yankees would have won all 5 of those without Mariano. That's how big he was. And when you really take a look at what he was able to do with that cut fastball, that cutter that everybody knew was coming, yet they couldn't hit it. Here's why I say I think he had an almost perfect career and probably one of the best careers ever in the history of pro sports, not just baseball. His career 2.21 ERA and his 1.00 whip are the lowest in the live ball era amongst qualified pitchers. You heard me. Nobody in the history of baseball has a lower ERA or lower whip. He also, in the postseason, has the record for the lowest ERA in the postseason with a 0.70 ERA. Just phenomenal. It's incredible to come into those kind of pressure situations and be able to produce the way that he did. Mariano Rivera, the first ever unanimous in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and you know what? He deserves it.
Number three.
The Commissioner of Baseball, Rob Manfred, was in Los Angeles on Tuesday at the big press conference that announced that the Los Angeles Dodgers will have a $100 million renovation to Dodger Stadium, which is the National League's second oldest ballpark behind Wrigley Field, and also that the 2020 renovations will precede the All-Star Game, which will be held at Dodger Stadium for the first time since 1980. Is that incredible? So the Dodgers will have the Midsummer Classic at a ballpark that, in all reality, is great the way it's already set up. It's great that they're adding money to it. They'll never rebuild it. People love Dodger Stadium. They flock to Dodger Stadium. But here we go. Dodger Stadium will be spruced up, and all of the country will be able to enjoy it for the Baseball All-Star Game next July in Los Angeles. Way, way overdue. Kind of like the Dodgers winning another World Series, since it hasn't happened since 1988. But here we are. The Dodgers All-Star Game 2020 in Los Angeles. It sounds great. Can't wait.
Number four.
Sunday was a special time at Cooperstown, New York, at the Baseball Hall of Fame. I've been there a number of times. If you have not gone to the Hall of Fame, you must make that pilgrimage. If you haven't been to the Baseball Hall of Fame, you must make that pilgrimage. It is an unbelievable museum about the national pastime. It's a must-see. And this year we did hear some amazing speeches, and we heard from amazing Hall of Famers. And we want to share that with you, including New York Yankees closer Mariano Rivera.
I don't understand why I always have to be the last. I keep saying that for the last 20 years and last 17 years of my career. I always say, why I have to be the last one? But I guess being the last one was so special. It's a privilege and honor to just be part of one organization. I did it with dignity, with honor and pride. I tried to carry the pinstripes the best that I could. I think I did it right with that.
And the widow of Roy Halladay, Brandy Halladay.
Roy would want everyone to know that people are not perfect. We are all imperfect and flawed in one way or another. We all struggle, but with hard work, humility, and dedication, imperfect people can still have perfect moments. Roy was blessed in his life and in his career to have some perfect moments, but I believe that they were only possible because of the man he strived to be, the teammate that he was, and the people he was so blessed to be on the field with. I'm so humbled to say congratulations to this year's Hall of Fame inductees, to say thank you to all of you on Roy's behalf.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
Let's welcome in Jerry Hairston Jr., former Major League Baseball player, infielder and outfielder, who played 16 seasons in the major leagues and won a world championship with the New York Yankees in 2009. Jerry, what's happening? Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Always.
Living in L.A., nothing gets better than that.
No, no doubt about it, with this beautiful weather and great baseball. Jerry, tell me, at what point in your major league career did you think you would get into broadcasting? As you know, you're a pre- and post-game host for Spectrum Sports in L.A., did you know you always wanted to get into television?
Well, you know what? I think at a young age, I always wanted to be around the game of baseball, whether it's to be a manager after I was done playing or get into broadcasting. I remember when I was 8 or 9 years old, I was riding a bus to the park with my father. You know, we're on the road. I believe it was in Milwaukee. That's when the Milwaukee Brewers were in the American League. And I remember on the bus, a guy named Don Drysdale, who was doing the White Sox TV at the time, I got a chance to sit next to him. So he starts talking. I'm probably 9, 10 years old. And we started talking, and I only knew him as a broadcaster. At this point, I had no idea who Don Drysdale, the legendary pitcher, was. So we started talking. I go, hey, I really love listening to you play because I learn a lot about baseball. And he goes, oh, that's great. He goes, well, how did you learn about the game of baseball? He goes, well, I was a player. I used to play. I go, you play? So to a kid, you think broadcasters, you know, are right. Just broadcasters, right? You don't know that they're actual players. So I go back and tell my dad, you know, hey, I had a conversation with Don Drysdale, the baseball, the broadcaster. He told me he's a baseball player. My dad said, well, yeah, he's a legend. So I did some research on Don Drysdale. I didn't realize he was the Don Drysdale. So I said, that's what I want to do. I want to be a baseball player, and then when I'm done, I want to be a broadcaster. I want to do just like what Don Drysdale did. So that was really my introduction of being a baseball player, and then when I'm done, be a broadcaster. I really believe Don Drysdale is the one who kind of inspired me to do that.
That's amazing. What a great story. Also, you did mention managing, and your name came up in the offseason about possibly managing, and, you know, the way baseball is going, a lot of teams are looking for younger guys who embrace analytics, and a lot of guys who are coming off of television as analysts, and would you be interested in managing, and were you close to getting a gig?
Well, there has been some clubs that have kind of reached out, and ever since I got done playing at 13, there's been clubs that have reached out for me to be a big league coach, whether it's a third base coach, possibly a first base coach, and kind of groom me into becoming a manager. And then obviously now that I'm doing the TV gig, like you mentioned, more clubs are inclined to hire a younger type of coach manager because they understand and kind of maybe take on the analytics, which in my opinion is still the same. Analytics is statistics. They just renamed it. And I've always been a person of wanting information. And I think that gathering that information and giving it to the players and let the players decide, hey, I'm going to use this to better my game. I think sometimes now we're starting to get into the realm of getting too much information, and it's sometimes paralyzing performance of certain players. So Alex Cora does an incredible job. Dave Roberts, which 4 or 5 years ago, they all would have been on my coaching staff. You know, we're all good friends.
Right.
Aaron Boone, me and him are really good friends. We actually coached our sons in Scottsdale, Arizona, three or four years ago. And the coaching staff we had was Aaron Boone, myself, Cody Ross, Kyle Loesch, and Josh Barfield, who was the manager of that team.
So, wow.
You know, it's definitely a thing that I have considered, but the most important thing for me is being able to raise my kids. I have a 13-year-old son, Jackson, who's an excellent basketball player, a really good baseball player. He wants to start getting into really taking baseball seriously. I'm around him, and I have two daughters. One's a volleyball player, the other's a soccer player. So, you know, I want to be around them, and I think doing the TV that I do, I work around 120 days a year round, and being around them to be able to raise them has been very special. So I love what I'm doing.
Awesome. How about this? Okay, so you played in Baltimore with the Cubs in Chicago, Rangers in Texas, Cincinnati, New York with the Yankees, San Diego, Washington, Milwaukee, and, of course, Los Angeles with the Dodgers. Which was your favorite town? I want to lean towards New York because you won a championship in 2009, but baseball towns, out of all the ones you played in, tell me which one was your favorite.
Well, I get asked this a lot. I loved every place I played because I got a chance to learn different nuances about not only the city, different types of people, but I got a chance to learn from really good baseball men, okay? In Chicago, Dusty Baker, incredibly prepared manager. Him and Buck Showalter were the most prepared managers I ever played for. Dusty Baker would have lineups ready weeks in advance, making sure he gives rest to his star players, make sure that he gets his bench players involved, and make sure it's a proper balance throughout the season. Buck Showalter was outstanding as far as making sure the bullpen was managed well. You know, I got a chance to be around Donnie Baseball. Love the way he communicated also to his players. You know, Bud Black, one of the most underrated managers that doesn't really get talked about, incredible communicator, gives confidence to whether you're a position player or a pitcher. Joe Girardi, great X's and O's guys, kind of a grittier type of guy. And I know I'm leaving a few guys off, but I got a chance to see different type of managers go about their business. And I think I've taken a little bit from them and kind of used that in my TV, in the TV realm. You know what I'm saying? As far as being able to kind of dissect certain games, certain situations.
Last thing, obviously you cover the Dodgers. You're watching this team. Incredible offense, great starting pitching. Bullpen's a question mark. And the trade deadline is coming up very quickly. We got about a minute. Tell me, what should they do? Do they really need to add some bullpen help? Because the Dodgers are trying to get to the World Series for the third year in a row. And, Jerry, we know they didn't win the first 2 years. And here's, you know, your windows start to close after a while. How imperative is it for them to secure some bullpen help?
Andrew Friedman has been aggressive each and every deadline he's been a part of the Dodgers organization. I expect him to be more aggressive this offseason. It ain't about just getting the World Series. You know, we talk about it all the time. There's no participation trophies. Either you get the parade and the World Series ring, or you don't. And the Dodger players understand that. That's why they've had such a successful season so far. They've taken nothing for granted. They worked extremely hard, from Cody Bellinger to Max Muncy, Justin Turner, Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler. These guys are understanding, you know what? It ain't about getting the World Series again. We have to complete the deal. Nobody remembers teams that finish second place. They remember World Series champions. And I believe they're going to be aggressive at the deadline. They're going to go out and get an arm or two in that bullpen, maybe get a position player that can play the middle infield, a high contact guy, and really solidify this team.
Jerry, man, thank you for the knowledge. We appreciate it. His name is Jerry Hairston Jr., former big leaguer and outstanding TV broadcaster for Spectrum Sports LA. We appreciate you, Jerry.
Anytime, Rob.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh, my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
J.R., this past Sunday, Harold Baines and Lee Smith were inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. They failed to get in through the writer's vote for more than 15 years on the ballot, but they got in through the Veterans Committee. Is it foul or fair to say that they came into the hall through the side door?
It's foul.
That is a foul ball.
Not sure that all of the guys who made it through the Veterans Committee the last 2 years were deserving. Trammell's debatable. So was Morris, in my opinion. But Lee Smith's omission was a tragedy to begin with. He retired as the all-time MLB leader in saves. They put guys like Trevor Hoffman in the Hall of Fame before one of the most intimidating relievers to ever play. He was also a mentor to so many players and had impeccable character. At least that's what African-American players like Eric Davis, Tom Flash Gordon, and Marvin Freeman tell me. His legacy extends way beyond the numbers if you ask the players. The Baseball Writers Association of America isn't perfect, and sometimes players get lost in the sauce for some reason. I never had any doubt in my mind that Smith was a Hall of Famer, and it's good that the Veteran Committee could finally right an injustice. The BBWAA is still blackballing deserving guys like A-Rod and Bonds, so it's good to have another selection committee who might see things a bit different and not be as critical and weird when it comes to certain players. The U.S. government has systems of checks and balances, and baseball needs it too. Some fresh eyes to look at Hall of Fame worthiness from a different perspective. Hopefully, these guys will get Dick Allen and Fred McGriff their just due eventually as well. Thank God for the Veterans Committee. I hope it's here to stay.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Here comes Parker's top three MLB teams this week.
Number three.
The Houston Astros. Coming into Tuesday, they were 64-37 And the Astros are getting healthy and getting some momentum going. Remember, they had a long stretch of a lot of injuries, especially to their pitching staff. And this past week, the Astros did some damage pitching-wise, giving up only 8 runs in 4 straight wins against divisional opponents. That's the kind of stuff that you put together when you look at a team and say, yes, they are going to be a problem when everybody is healthy and on their pitching staff. And the other thing is the lineup is really, really good. They're filled with mashers. So the Astros are the third best team in baseball.
Number two,
the Los Angeles Dodgers. Coming into Tuesday, 67-35. They continue to roll. Everything. They have hitting. They have pitching. What don't they have? I mean, I look at the Dodgers and I just say they have everything you would want to have. And no wonder they look destined to be heading for their third straight World Series. There's just one thing that is the bugaboo, and we talk about it over and over and over. It's the bullpen. Will they get help? Will they fix it? They need it. I can see this Dodger team having this great regular season, doing everything, and then getting into an important spot in the postseason and not being able to seal the deal with the right arms coming out of the bullpen. But right now, this week, they are the second best team in baseball.
Number one,
I've been saying it all year long. I know there have been other weeks when other teams have jumped into the top spot, but the best team in baseball remains the New York freaking Yankees. Coming into Tuesday, they were 64-34. They continue to beat up on the competition. They continue to hit home runs. They continue to get good pitching. They just need one piece, which is to add a starting pitcher. And the Yankees, if they can get that one starter, add a guy who can solidify that rotation, they have an unbelievable bullpen. They have a fearsome lineup. They have sluggers up and down the lineup. They've done all of this and put together this record of 30 games over 500. And have just one home run from Stanton all year. Nobody would believe it's possible. And the same thing, Judge missed so much time, has less than 10 home runs, and yet the Yankees, you heard me, are the best team in baseball.
Take out the paper, then the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's winner is Lieutenant Archie Highcock, and he writes this: I'm trashing the Oakland A's. Can't stand them with their nappy white uniforms, their nappy white cleats wearing butts. They always got to be so damn clean and white ever since the Giambi, Tejada, Mulder, Hudson days. And their park is so ugly. Man, I hate the A's so much. Go Angels. If you want a chance to win a new era snapback, send your trash to @RobParkerFS1 on Twitter.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, let's welcome into the podcast John Heyman from Intercom Radio and the MLB Network, and a friend of mine, a former co-worker. John Heyman, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here, Rob. Thanks a lot.
No sweat. John, let's start right away. The trade deadline has changed in Major League Baseball. July 31st is it. Drop dead, cut, you can't add any other players, no waiver wire. How much is that going to change the trade deadline, and how much action do you expect to see?
Well, it should mean more trades on July 31st. Obviously, there'll be no trades now in August, so everybody's going to have to make their decisions. It's going to be interesting and difficult for these teams, I think, because right now we got about a dozen teams that are in the middle deciding what they want to do, around 500 or so. A little different than the National League than the American League. American League wild card's a little tougher. You got to win a bunch of games to win that wild card and get one of those two spots, I think. NL, it looks like you can probably win 83, 84, 85 games. Maybe you'll slide in for that second wild card. So some tough calls coming up, but they all got to make them by July 31st.
John, I see two teams that look like they're headed maybe possibly to meet in the World Series, the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's pretty obvious the Yankees need a starter and the Dodgers need a reliever or two. Help me with both. Do the Yankees get a starter during at the deadline?
I think they will. It looks like there might not be a lot of starters available. Some that we thought were going to be available may not be now. So it's going to be interesting and not easy, but the Yankees have the prospects and they certainly have the money to do it. So I think they're going to do it.
And how about the Dodgers? You know, they're trying to get to the World Series for a third time in a row. John, you know, they're stacked. They got hitters up and down. They have a great starting pitching, but the bullpen is the issue. Joe Kelly has been bad for them. Jansen hasn't been the same. Do they get somebody?
They definitely will. They're going to be relievers available. Already are available, and they'll definitely get somebody for the back end. I don't think there's any question about that. I'm sure Jansen will remain the closer, but there are a lot of guys out there, whether it be Green or Giles. I don't know about the San Francisco guys. That's an interesting situation. They have a lot of relievers. I think they'd be willing to trade with L.A. if they trade, but at this point, they're right in the middle of the race, and they're the hottest team in baseball, so I think that's the most interesting situation. Are the Giants going to be a seller still? As of today, I would say not, but we still have more than a week to go.
All right, you smell that? That's the New York Metropolitans, the Mets. And help me out, John. Are they going to be sellers? I mean, they put together, they made a lot of moves in the offseason. New general manager trying to shake it up, and it just really hasn't totally worked for them. Are they going to sell, or are they buying?
They're going to sell. They're committed sellers at this point. I don't think there's any question about that. That's what I have heard. They are going to sell. And, and Noah Syndergaard's name's going to be out there, but I'll be surprised if he is traded. They still have two more years with him. They could get a lot for him, but they really don't seem like they're anxious to give him up. So I think I'll be surprised if he's traded. They would like to trade Wheeler, whose contract is up after the year. And, I think that's going to be a tough one because he's been out for 10 days or so with a shoulder situation. They hope he pitches or is scheduled to pitch Friday. And if he does, maybe somebody will trade for him. But I think that shoulder thing is looming. So not going to be so easy. They may just have to give him the qualifying offer at the end of the year and take their draft choice or whatever happens there. Maybe he takes the qualifying offer. Probably not. So they'll probably get a draft choice out of that. Vargas is the guy who's going to be traded. Back-end starter. He's done well over the last couple months, but I don't know that he makes a playoff rotation for anybody. So they're not going to be able to get that much for him. So it's a disappointing season, and it's going to be a disappointing sale, I think, for the Mets as well.
Last thing, quick. We got 30 seconds. The Red Sox, They're look to be out of it. Are they going to give up some of their players or are they going to keep fighting to the end? I mean, they're the defending champs.
Yeah, they're the defending champ. They got a payroll well over $200 million. I think they're in it to win it, despite the fact they have not played that well. I think the hangover got them, and, we'll see. I still think they have a shot. If I had a pick today, I'm going to say Oakland, and then the loser of Minnesota and Cleveland get in, and then Boston does not. But I think with a payroll well over $200 million that they go for it. If they don't, maybe they trade Porcello. But I don't see them trading Mookie Betts or J.D. Martinez or anybody like that. I'd be surprised.
His name is John Heyman. He is one of the best in the business, breaking stories. And, John, always a pleasure, my man. Thank you.
Absolutely, Rob. Great talking to you.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out. Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA. And it isn't even close.
Baseball is better than the NBA and NFL for this very reason. Baseball, we talk about the actual games, the action on the field, what's going on. In the NFL, there's so many weeks where there's no football, people make up stories about them. How about all these phony lists about the NFL? Top 10 this, top 10 that. That's what they have to do to keep the game alive, to keep people talking about it. NBA, the biggest season for the NBA is the offseason. Who's going where? Who's going to team up with each other? It's not the regular season. You're not talking about the action. You're not talking about the games. Major League Baseball has action every night, almost every night, for 6 months. A month of spring training. There's always something to talk about. You don't have to fabricate and make up stories to keep people interested. The NFL plays for 4 months. The other 8 months is nothing but made up stories and injury news to keep people salivating about the sport. Baseball relies on game action. Let's talk about it. I love baseball for that reason. That's what keeps me interested. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.